gaan vanoggend weer bietjie gesels oor die liefde. 1 Korintiërs 13 sê, al verkoop ons alles wat ons het, en ons gee die geld vir die armes, maar ons is nie die liefde nie, dan sê die Amplified Bible, we make no progress. Ons gaan nie vorentoe nie. Ons bly net waar ons is. Sê, al gee ons eie liggame om gebrand te word, of doodgemaak word terwille van die evangelie, maar ons het nie liefde nie. So, as ons gee sonder liefde, is ons eindelijk besig om onsself te kort te doen. Ek wil vanoggend oor iets praat in Matteus 24. En ons het laas week het ons in 1 Timoteus 3, het ons 2 Timoteus 3, het ons gepraat oor die, en julle weet waar nie, gaan, as ons vanoggend praat oor die eindtye, dan gaan ons die voorspellings maak wanneer Jesus kom nie. Ok, ek wil net vir julle uit die Bybel uit lees, wat sê die woord van die Here en wat het Jesus self gesê oor die eindtye. Ok, en ek dink is belangriker dat ons weet hoe moet ons reageer in die eindtye, as wat ons alles moet weet oor die eindtye. Ek dink baie keer as ons so, raak ons so behep, en ek dink die kennis is belangrik, maar as die kennis, is weer eens die so what vraag. As ek nou al die kennis het, wat verander het in my? Wat een aksie ontlok dit my? Wat een ingesteldheid? Hoe beïnvloed dit my gebedslewe? Hoe beïnvloed dit wat ek met die Here oor praat? Hoe beïnvloed dit hoe ek met my broers en susters omgaan? En Jesus sê, in vers 4, Jesus answered them, be careful that no one mislead you. En as ons weer, en as jy teruggaan na 2 Timoteus 3 toe, wat Paulus vir Timoteus geskryf, there will be deceiving doctrines. Ok? So, hier is een boodskap wat deurgaan, dat daar gaan deceptions wees, daar gaan misleidings wees. For many will come in my name, the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened or troubled. Okay, wie van ons hoor van oorlog? Ek meen, ons is net die TV aan te skakel, elkeen is op Facebook, as jy jou phone aanskakel, het jy die nietste nies, as jy in die korante kyk, there's rumors of wars, and there are wars. En wat sê die woord van die Here hier vir ons? Wat moet ons doen na omtrent? Do not be frightened. Do not be troubled. So hier sê ons, kan ons oorlog voorkom? Enige van julle, het julle probeer om oorlog te voorkom op julle eie? Ons kan nie. Maar die woord van die Here sê, ons moet nie bang wees nie. So as ons bang is, die wêreld is bang. Ek sien op die nuutste huisgenoot, jy weet, huisgenoot is die tydskrif wat niemand lees nie, maar allemaal weet wat gaan in hom aan. Nee. Ek sien nou, as ek al by Pick n Pay, as ek by Checkers, dan lees ek lees op die nuutste huisgenoot, moet ons bang wees vir die derde wêreldoorlog, kenners sê. Derde wêreldoorlog. Wat sê die woord vir ons? Is my bang wees nie? Ons moet nie angstig raak nie. Weer eens die woord wat Sakkie vanoggend gebring het. Wat sê die woord in Filippense? Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, thanksgiving, prayer, supplication. Make your request known to God. Kom ons lees. Prys die Here. Ek is besig om opgewonde te raak. Dis goeie nuus vir julle. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in place after place. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Niks amens of hallelujahs op daai versie nie. Dis sien dit is daai versies wat ons trek om so uit die om die waarheid te sê, ek dink die koringkorreltjies het daai versie nie. As ons hom kry, soos ek prys die Here aan die ene, druk hom maar onder in. Is hierdie versies wat ons gerieflikheidshalwe wil ons oor hulle lees. Ons wil hulle nie vuis nie. Ons wil net hoor Die Sue Ellen Gospel. Wie van julle, nou verklap ek my ouderdom, maar was 'n TV-reeks, ek dink hulle saai dit nou weer uit Dallas. En een van die vrouens is Sue Ellen gewees. Wie van julle kan vir Sue Ellen onthou? Okay, nou weet ons hoe oud is julle. En sy het altyd gesê, everything's gonna be just fine. Ek noem het Sue Ellen Christianity. Weet, ons wil nie hierdie moeilike versies face en dan sê ons, everything's gonna be just fine. And then many will be offended and repelled and will begin to distrust and desert him who they ought to trust and obey. Hierso sê wat die woord van die Here sê, dat as hierdie goed gaan gebeur, gaan daar baie wees wat offended was. Wat offended was, wat afgestoot is deur hierdie boodskap. Deur hierdie gebeure, en dan gaan hulle wegloop en nie meer vertrou in die een op wie hulle vertrou het nie. Nou, hoekom skryf die Bybel hierdie goeters, dit klink nou nie soos goeie nuus nie. Dis uitstekende nuus. Want dit waarsku ons. Dis uitstekende nuus, want dit waarsku ons, dat as hierdie goed kom, en eweskielik word, vind ek hierdie evangelie afstootlik. Eweskielik vind ek, dat, jy sê, hierdie preke offend my nou. Ek voel nie lekker nie. Dat ons sê, wag 'n bietjie. Die woord waarsku ons. Jesus het gesê in die eindtye, gaan as dinge moeiliker begin gaan, dan gaan mense wegloop. Nou, as jy vir ons vra, wie van julle sal wegloop, gaan niemand sê, ja, ek dink ek is daai ou. Hiersoos, ek preek dit vir leiers en pastore, wat mense wat wegloop, en dan voel hulle asof hulle, of mense wat mense disciple, en dan voel het asof hulle persoonlik gefail het. Jesus was perfect. Jesus het 'n perfekte boodskap gebring, Jesus het nooit iets op 'n slegte manier gesê nie, hy het het altyd, he always spoke the truth in love, he was perfect in what he says, he explained it perfectly, he said it perfectly, met die regte gesigsuitdrukking. Hy is nooit in a bad move, hy het nooit gedink, wacht, vir oggend gaan ek hierdie ouwens bietjie nail nie, en mense het weggestap van hom af. So ons het die genade, niemand van ons kan hier sê, in ons eie kracht, dat ek sal dit nooit doen nie. Petrus was een van die groot monde. Weet jy, Petrus is die ou in die Bybel, sy mond was soos een voet geshyp, want hy het sy voet so baie in sy mond gesit oor, hy sien daar kom iets wat lyk soos 'n spook op die water aangestap, en hy kyk so deur in die golwe. Wie van julle in julle prentjie van daai Jesus, Petrus wat op die water loop, is dat dit so spieelglad was? Dis 'n storm gewees. Dis 'n storm waarin vissermanne bang was. Daai man het op die see gelewe. Hulle was bang. Petrus sê, Here, is dit jy? Ja. If it's you, bid me come. Men, nêrens het iemand nog ooit op water gestap nie, daar is nie, hy het nie 'n verwysingsraamwerk gehad nie, hier is Petrus, hier kom ek. Petrus is ook die ou, toe Jesus sê, ek gaan gevange geneem word, en ek gaan gemartel word, en ek gaan gekruisig word, en dan gaan ek weer op die derde dag opstaan, toe vat Petrus om een kant toe, toe rebuke Petrus vir Jesus. Kan julle dit, daai ene? Jy praat nie so nie, dis negatief. That is a negative faith statement. Jou woorde dra krag. Hy's 'n groot mond. Hy sê ook vir Jesus, Jesus, toe Jesus sê, een van hierdie ouens gaan my verraai. Petrus, Here, ek, nooit. Ek, miskien hierdie ander ouens. Miskien Judas, hy is klaar, ek is nie seker oor hom nie, maar in arme ou Johannes, ou sagte Johannes, maar ek sal tronk toe gaan saam met jou, om die waarheid te sê, ek sal sterf vir jou. Groot bek. Paar ure later, verloon hy vir Jesus, nie een keer nie, nie twee keer nie, drie keer. So ek dink baie van ons kan baie groot mond wees en sê, dit kan nie met my gebeur nie. Hierdie waarsku, maar ons word gewaarsku vir 'n rede. Omdat God lief is vir ons, waarsku hy ons. Wat doen ons met ons kinders? As ons kinders met op 'n stoofplaat wil speel, wat doen ons? Ons waarskei ons kinders. Hoekom waarskei ons ons kinders? Want ons bang hulle beskadig ons stoof? Wel, miskien. Dis hoekom ek nie TV gesê het nie, maar stoof. Nee, ons waarskei ons kinders, want hulle kan hulle self seer maak op die stoof. Ons is lief vir hulle, daarom waarskei ons hulle. As hulle in die pad gaan fietsry, dan sê ons sit op julle helmet, kyk links, kyk rechts, oppas vir die kar, as haar kar kom, af van die pad af. Hoekom waarskei ons hulle? Omdat ons hulle lewe wil spoil, omdat ons hulle lewe saai en vervelig wil maak, omdat ons beheer en kontrole wil hê oor hulle lewens? Nee, ons doen dit omdat ons lief is vir hulle. En net so waarskei God ons in sy woord, nie omdat hy in 'n slegte bui is nie, nie omdat hy wil seker maak dat ons hom gehoorsaam nie. Alles wat God doen, is uit liefde. Kom ons lees verder. And many false prophets will rise and deceive and lead many into error. Many false prophets will rise up. Hier wil ek vir julle vra, daar sommige mense, omdat hulle so bang is vir valse profete, dat hulle glad die profesie wil hoor nie. Dat hy sê, nee, kom ons los liever, as daar die moontlikheid is van vals, dan los ons liever alles, want hoe weet ons, dis die vals nie? Wel, ons het die woord, ons het die Heilige Gees, ons het die liggaam van Christus, dat is baie goed wat ons vrywaar, wat seker maak dat ons kan vals, ons kan profeseer, kan ons beoordeel. Ons kan het toets, dier die Gees van God. Sommige mense sê, daar is nie meer profete nie. So, as daar nie meer profete is nie, hoekom sal daar vals profete wees? Wie van julle het onlangs 'n R5 noot gesien? Daar bestaan nie meer een nie. Ons kan nie meer gebruik nie, want daar is nie 'n werklike een nie. Daarom as iemand vandag vir jou 'n R5 noot gee en sê, hier is 'n splinter nuwe R5 noot met Mandela se kop op, gaan die ander vir jou lag en sê, maar daar is nie meer so iets nie. So as al, if there's a false, there must be a real. Would you agree? Okay. And maar hier is wat as ek wat wil kom, in vers 12. And the love of the great body of people will grow cold because of the multiplied lawlessness and iniquity. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this good news of the gospel will be preached throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end shall come. Hier is 'n paar goed wat ons beheer het oor het. En is 'n paar goed wat ons miskien nie beheer oor het nie. Ons het miskien nie altyd beheer oor 'n hongersnood in Ethiopië nie. Sekerlik kan ons geld gee en ons kan besak meel stuur of wat ook al, maar ons op ons eie gaan nie hierdie probleem noodwendig kan oplos nie. Oorloë gaan ons sukkel. Daar was nog altyd oorloë, aardbewings, tensy ons weet hulle kom en ons kan bid teen hulle, dan kan ons hulle miskien vir die Here vra dat hulle nie sal kom nie, maar ons hoor gewoonlik van aardbewings as hulle klaar gebeur het. Vloede, nie veel wat ons aan kan doen nie. En toch is daar mense wat die hele tyd, is dit al wat hulle, het jy gesien, ons is in die eindtye, daar is aardbewings, daar is vloede, meer as tevore, daar is hongersnode. Nasies is besig om teen nasies op, en dis waar, maar is eintlik niks wat ons aan kan doen nie. Al wat die Here vir ons hierso sê, is om nie bang raak nie, want hierdie goed moet gebeur, maar dan sê hy toch iets, dan sê, and the love of many will grow cold. Met ander woorde, daar is iets wat jy aan jou liefde kan doen. Jy kan sorg, dat jou liefde nie koud raak. En, soos ek laas week gesê het, is dat, ek dink nie ons liefde raak noodwendig koud, omdat ons evil is. Niemand staan in die oggend op en gedink, okay, vandag gaan ek my liefde verloor. Vandag gaan ek liefdeloos optree teenoor elkeen wat ek... Nee, meeste van ons se liefde raak koel af, as gevolg van die feit dat ons nie aandag gee nie. In enige huwelik, mense wat getroud is, weet, daar kom tye in die mense huwelik wat die mense, wat die uitdrukking van jou liefde nie so warm is, as wat het ander kere is nie. En dis, baie keer is dit kinders wat nie slaap nie, en ander kere is dit kinders wat siek is, en ander kere is dit werkstres, en ander kere is dit omdat jy nie iets uitgesort het nie, en ander kere is omdat jy stres by die werk het. So, niemand besluit, nobody decides one day to become evil and let their love grow cold. Our love grows cold Because we get busy and distracted with other things. So one of the ways that we can keep our love from growing cold. In other words, what is the opposite of cold? Warm or hot? So how do we keep our love hot and warm and engaging and expressive? We pay attention. If I decide in the morning, today I'm gonna look out for my wife has certain things that she wants done and she enjoys being done, and I'm gonna pay attention to them. When I pay attention, when I express my love through acts of service to my wife, my relationship with my wife is good. Very good. Other times I get busy, and we get busy not with evil things. We get busy with stuff like ministry. We get busy with work. We get busy with hobbies, which are in themselves and of themselves not evil. But when they cause our love to grow cold, our love for God and our love for our fellow human beings, if it grows cold, it is a sign that we are succumbing to the signs of the end. And so when we read that scripture, so what? This is my so what question. The love of many will grow cold because of lawlessness and an increase or a multiplication of lawlessness. Then I want to say, God, I never want my love to grow cold. And here's the thing. When we go to Revelations, in the book of Revelation, God speaks to the churches in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2. To the angel or the messenger of the assembly, it's a Revelation chapter 2. Verse 1, to the angel, the messenger of the assembly church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars, which are the messengers of the seven churches, in his right hand. Who goes about the seven golden lampstands, which are the seven churches? I know your industry, your activities, your laborious toil and trouble, your patient endurance, and how you cannot tolerate wicked men, and have tested critically, appraised those who call themselves apostles and those who are not, and find them imposters and liars. I know you are enduring patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake. You have not fainted and become exhausted or grown weary. Now, up until that point, that sounds wonderful. God comes and Jesus walks amongst the churches and he says, I can sin. Just see hulle werk hard. En hy bedoel nie in hulle werk, en hy bedoel in die evangelie. Ek sien you work hard en julle hou aan, julle hou nie op nie. En julle, dit lyk my julle raak ook nie moeg nie. Julle gaan net aan. Julle gaan aan en dan julle nog onderskeidend ook. You are discerning because there are people that come in and say that they are apostles, and you can actually critically appraise them and see if they are apostles or not. So you can spiritually, you are awake and you work hard and you're patient and you're like, oh, eight. You are enduring amongst hard times. And then God says this, yeah, but I have this one thing against you. And how many of us would right here with a humanistic worldview would say, well, we did seven right and only one wrong. Why point that out? Kan ek try hard hier so, 1 uit 7 is die bad nie. But this is what Jesus says here. He says, I have this one charge against you, that you have left the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love. Remember them from which height you have fallen. Repent. Change the inner man to meet God's will and do the works which you did previously, when first you knew the Lord. Or else I will visit you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you change your mind and repent. Yet you have this in your favor, that you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I myself also detest. He was able to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To him who overcomes, he is victorious. I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, Here's important. God says, I've got this one thing against you, that amongst all your service and amongst all your discerning and spirituality, you've somehow lost your love. It's the same thing that Jesus echoes, the love of many will grow cold. So your love that you receive from God can grow cold. And it's our responsibility not to come to a place that we don't work so hard and are so busy and so patient, so enduring, so spiritual, that we forget that all of this must flow from love. The Apostle Paul echoes this in 1 Corinthians 13 when he says, even if you speak the language of men and angels, but you do not have love, you're only making a noise. You're a clanging cymbal. And even if you can prophesy and you know all the mysteries of heaven and you have the ability to know and to understand every mystery, and even if you have faith to move a mountain, but you don't have love, the Amplified Bible says you are a useless nobody. And even if you sell everything that you have and you give it to the poor, and even if you give your own body for the sake of the gospel, but you do not have love, you are making no progress. Does that mean that we shouldn't speak in the tongues of men and angels? Does it mean that we shouldn't prophesy? Does it mean that we should not trust God to know more of the mysteries of heaven? Does it mean that we shouldn't have faith to move mountains? Does it mean that we shouldn't sell everything and give it to the poor? Does it mean that we shouldn't give our own bodies as living sacrifices? No, it simply means that we must do it with love. Love is the thing that empowers everything that you give. Outside of love, it becomes religious dead works. So please, don't go and tell Niels. Jan said, we don't have to prophesy. We don't serve anymore. We just love. You know, we've got this funny, fuzzy bunny feeling in the pit of our stomach, and we just love bunnies. No, no, loves look like something. Love looks like something. So, and you know when one of those words that we must redeem, repent. Who of you, when you hear the word repent, you go, huh? Huh? It's that part where I feel really bad about myself. I cry. Is that part of repentance? That is godly sorrow that leads to repentance. But that is not repentance. The Word of God says there's a godly sorrow that leads to repentance. It's good to have godly sorrow. It's good to confess. But confession is not repentance. It's part of repentance. Repentance is that you turn away. You think, start thinking differently. It simply means think differently. And if you think, because the writer of the epistle, when he uses the word repent, he knows that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if your thinking change, your actions will change. So it's important, that word repent, that we understand, yes, we are turning away from sin, but we are turning to God. Because you can turn from one sin to another. You can turn from nicotine addiction to overeating. It's still a sin. It's still missing the mark. So repentance is not just turning away from sin. It's because you can turn from one sin to another. But if you turn to the Lord, you'll always turn away from sin, because in Him there is no sin. So can we redeem repentance? Can we make it beautiful? Can we make it something that we desire? Not something that we tolerate, not something that we frown at, not something that we try to avoid, but something that we see as a gift, as a blessing from God, that even in my worst sin, I can turn to Him. I can turn to Him because of what Jesus has done. And if I turn to Him, I turn away from sin. If I turn away from my thinking that caused me to sin, if I turn to God, I turn my thinking according to His Word, then I will automatically turn away from sin. Because in Him, there is no sin. Then repentance. And we start thinking, when we say that repentance is change the way you think, it changes, because a lot of us like the way that we think. Otherwise, you wouldn't be thinking like that. There's something that your thinking gives you. So to say to yourself, God, your ways are higher than mine. Your thoughts are higher than mine, God. So I'm going to take my thinking. I'm going to put your word on top of my thinking. And if my thinking is contrary to your word, God, my thinking needs to change. Thank you, God, for this incredible gift of your word and of your spirit that you have given me. Because it teaches me to think different about life. It causes my life to be transformed. And all of this, you know, when God was saying to them, you did things right, you did this right, you did this right. He didn't all of a sudden turn into bad daddy. But I have this one thing against you. You know, because coming from a strict Afrikaner background, whenever I got told of a mistake, it was never in a loving way. Call me booty. Badkamer toe. I did not enjoy the bathroom. But can we take that portion of scripture and read a loving God in there and says, come on, turn to me. Man, when you met me, can you remember how you loved me? How nothing was effort. Things were effortless. You just did it. Instinctively, there was this love in your heart and nothing. You didn't see how much, you didn't think how little you could get away with. You looked how much you could give. Who remembers that when you started giving out? Your budget, you went out with your girlfriend and you overspent. I know some of you are from Dutch descent and Scottish, but most guys, you know, they overspend in love. They overspend in love. And I believe that the Lord, even in this, that the Lord is loving when He shows us our mistakes. How many times have you heard it when somebody tells you, I know that none of you have done this, but I've heard some people do it. You know, Isaac, this thing that you're doing, I don't think it's right. Oh, you're only judging me. You're judging me. It's like, the word says you should not judge. Go and read your Bible. The Bible, in here where, this is of Afrikaans beter as Engels. In Afrikaans daar twee woorde vir judge, dis beoordeel en veroordeel. Die Bybel sê ons moet nie veroordeel nie en oordeel fel nie, maar die woord sê wel you will judge a tree by its fruit. In other words, jy sal dit beoordeel en kyk of dit oplyn met die woord van die Here. So there is a measure that there is good judgment. Not in the sense that we pronounce sentence over people, but you know, if I didn't have people that pointed out my mistakes, I have many mistakes. That's why I have a wife. She tells me. She is my helper. Sy help my baie reg. En ek is die Here so dankbaar vir haar, want as dit nie vir haar was nie, sal ek baie meer foute gemaak het as wat ek al reeds maak, en dis skrikwekkend. You know, en somtyds, okay, manne, wie van julle voel, as julle vrou na julle toe kom en sê, spreek jy op jou naam en jou van aan? And she points out the thing that you did not do right. Wie van julle se eerste reaksie is, oh, dankie Bokkie. Oh, ek is so gelukkig om jou in my lewe te hê. Yeah. Hy vlees dan op... Ja, jy sien ook niks wat ek reg doen nie. Net my foute. Sê die Bybel, jy is my nie oordeel. Maar as mys net gaan dink, as ek dan gaan sit en dink, okay, hoekom sê sy dit vir jou? Want sy wil jou beskerm. And it's the same way that God... Many people say that nowadays, you know, God doesn't show us our mistakes. Whew. Revelation. Everyone I dearly and affectionately love, I show their mistakes. In other words, people that tell you that God doesn't show people their mistakes are quoting scripture that's not in scripture. They're quoting scripture about a God that they've created in their own image that they feel comfortable with. Everybody wants a God that just thinks that everything you do is good. God is good. We're not. Amen. So God in his love comes and he says to you, my son, my daughter, if I speak to my son, if I call him over, I say, hey, but the way that you've spoken to your nay now, it's not good. If you do it now, you're going to do it later in your relationship. If you guys get married, this is how you're going to deal with it, and that's not good. You don't do that. Now, he doesn't do that. It's a bad example. But why do we do these things? Why do we correct? Because we love. God corrects because he loves. God warns, not because he's a prophet of doom, but he loves everything. I want to say to you, everything. And then I want to say again, everything. And then I want to put it in capital letters. Everything, 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 everything that God does is born out of love. Even if you do not experience it as love at the moment, I want to say to you that everything that God does is love. God doesn't have love. He is love. He cannot operate. Even in the Old Testament, in hatred, hatred is a negative expression of what? Love. God operates out of love. Therefore, when he calls us to repent, it's out of love. So that we can turn away from the very thing that we think it's good for us, but it's actually bad for us. And this love is so important that God says that if we lose this love, if we don't pay attention to this love, it will grow cold. If we neglect it, it will grow cold. If we don't think about it, if we don't meditate upon it, it will grow cold. We will fall from it without even knowing it. We will think, yeah, but look, I'm in church, and look, I'm in this committee, and look, I'm going on that mission, and look, I'm doing this, and look, I'm giving this much, and look, I prophesy, and, but where's the love? And the love will qualify whether it is enduring. All these other things, the gifts are transient, they will pass away, the Bible says. But what will remain? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Love. So we need, as a church, as we are about to delve into John 14, 15, 16, and 17, where it speaks about love, but it also tells us about commandments. It tells us about repentance. It tells us about correcting. It tells us about the perils of not bearing fruit. The warnings. All of this is born out of love. Born out of love. So it's important. I can't stress this enough, that we concentrate intently and intensively and say, God, just pour more of your love. More of your love. Who spreads? Who gives you the love of God? The Holy Spirit. That's why your relationship with the Holy Spirit is so important. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit is important. Because it's the Holy Spirit that spreads the love of God abroad in your heart. It's this love that is so powerful that if you have it in you, it will cast out fear. This is often how I test my love. Are you afraid of stuff, Jan? Are you fearful? If I know that there's still fear in my heart, I know the Word of God says, where there's still fear of punishment, what? Love has not been perfected. I want to say to you that I don't think that there's anybody here in whom the love of God has been perfected. I know that some of you are very loving and are much more loving than I can ever be. But I want to say to you, there's always room for more love of God. Who of you struggle to love people that are unlovely? We love the people we love, and there are just some people that are very hard to love. How do we love people like that? God, give me your love. My love is insufficient. My ability to love people is insufficient, God. Won't you just come and increase the love of God? Come and increase your love in me, God. Let your love grow inside of me. More of your love, God. More of your love. Let us be a people whose cry is always, more love, God. More love. More love. You can never go wrong. You can never go wrong with love. Never, ever. You can go wrong with prophecy. Even if it's accurate. You can bring it in an inaccurate way. You can administrate it wrong. People can interpret it wrong. Love, my friends, my beloved brothers and sisters, love never fails. Love conquers all. The most powerful thing, the most powerful thing on the face of this earth is love. So as we are about to delve into John, I want to encourage us to just go inspect our love again. Don't doubt your love. Just say, God, more of your love, God. More of God's love is better for everyone. Even if your love, heart is full of love, just say, God, more. Let it overflow. It's good. More love, God. More of your love, God. More of your love. Amen. Can we stand, please? I'm not going to pray for you. I want if you this morning, if you have a desire for more of the love of God, that you just spend a couple of moments as the music is playing, that you would come before God. You don't need a mediator. Amen. You don't need me to pray for you. You have access to the throne of grace. If you have a desire for more of the love of God in your heart, manifested in your life and through your life, just come before Him. Just lift your desire before Him.